Hello, and welcome to episode 36 of Cavalytics. Cavalytics is a podcast about the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers with a focus on statistical analysis. We are recording this about 30 minutes after the Cavs' amazing 115-101 Game 6 win against the Golden State Warriors in the 2016 NBA Finals. The Cavs have now tied the series at 3 games apiece, and they head to Oakland for the final game of the NBA season. Game 7 of the NBA Finals is on Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I am Keith Carter, a lifelong Cavs fan living in San Francisco, which is pretty convenient because I am definitely going to go to Game 7. My co-host is Arnav Chabra, a PhD candidate at MIT, a savant with NBA statistics, and an all-around great guy. How's it going, Arnav?
That was a fun game to watch.
I mean,
that's probably one of the best games I've seen.
Somehow topped Game 5. I think we're going to spend much of this podcast figuring out where this game ranks on the pantheon of LeBron James games. But spoiler alert, I think it's probably number one, given the circumstances. But let me finish introing the podcast. So we are hosted on SoundCloud, and we are available on iTunes or wherever you normally find your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at CavalyticsNBA. You can email us at cavalyticsnba@gmail.com. We respond to pretty much everything we receive, and we love hearing from our listeners, so keep the emails and tweets coming. All right, let's get into it. It's just such an incredible game. LeBron had 4 steals and 3 blocks as well.
Yeah, and that block on Steph.
Yeah.
When he taunted him right after that.
Yeah. So the final line for LeBron was 41 points on 16 of 27 shooting, 3 of 6 from 3, 6 of 8 from the line. He had 11 assists, 8 rebounds, 1 turnover, 4 steals, 3 blocks.
Oh, and he was a plus 26. I don't know if he said that already, but
I don't think I did. Yeah, he was plus 26.
Only on Tristan was plus 32, which makes
Tristan
sense
Thompson.
Given his night.
Tristan Thompson, 15 points, 16 rebounds, 3 assists, which is unusual for Tristan Thompson.
He was a beast, man.
He was a beast. He was 6 of 6 from
second
the field.
Second best player today?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. I guess so. Yeah. Kyrie was important early, but sort of faded late, or at least LeBron was taking all the shots late.
Yeah, I think you said LeBron just took all the shots.
Yeah. Yeah, Mo Williams was perfect from the field, 2 of 2.
Dante Jones. We got to talk about Dante
Jones.
Oh,
my gosh. I don't even know where to start today. It's just so amazing. Just an incredible game. Yeah, so all right. So let me just try and collect some thoughts here. So the Cavs won by 14. The Cavs got up by 20 in the first quarter. In fact, it was 31-11 after the first quarter. They were in control of the game, but the Warriors kept going on runs. The Warriors got it down to 8 4 or 5 different times tonight, and each time the Cavs sort of withstood it. It's impressive.
That's exactly what I've been really impressed by with the Cavs for the last couple of games. Do you remember the last game where like Klay kept hitting ridiculous threes, and you know they would go up by 3, then the Cavs would make a shot, they would be down 1, and then they would be back and forth. I feel like there were so many spots where they could, like you said when you texted me, there were so many situations where they could have just given up.
Right.
But they kept coming back. And even tonight, like, Steph and Klay made some ridiculous shots today.
They did. I mean, I think Steph...
Steph had a 61 true shooting percentage. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, he had 30 points. 4 more turnovers. Klay also had 4 turnovers. They had 14 as a team. They're unable to cut them down for some reason.
And they had some bad turnovers too. Like, you know, LeBron would just catch the ball in mid-air.
They did. They had the kinds of turnovers that are the worst kind, which are ones that lead to the other team getting a transition offense opportunity.
And then LeBron also had 4 steals, which he's a hyena when it comes to hunting turnovers.
Yeah.
At least in the playoffs.
I didn't feel like his steals were gambling tonight like I do sometimes.
There were a couple. I remember in the beginning of the game. Yeah, he had a gamble. And I was like, oh, come on, LeBron. And there was another one, I think, later on. But
yeah,
as long as he's like, you know, the ratio of gambles to actual steals stays high in terms of the steals side, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because LeBron James steal is basically a guaranteed 2, you know, or at least close to a guaranteed 2, I would say.
I was just looking at our like instant message conversation as this game was going on, and I mean it's just almost embarrassing. So at the end of the third quarter, I messaged you LeBron really effed up the last 3 minutes there. What a bummer. they're going to have to take him out of the game now. And you were like, hope Kyrie's up to snuff. No, they did not have to take them out of the game. He played the entire second half. And didn't he score 18 straight points for the Cavs?
He was 18, yeah. He scored 8. He was 18. They were 18-0. And 0 was the Cavs' rest of the team.
Right.
He outscored the Warriors during that stretch by himself.
It was unbelievable. And his defense, too.
This was amazing.
I mean, we sound like kids here. I don't even know exactly what to say here. But LeBron was unbelievable. I had a discussion with a coworker, and he was telling me that he thinks that should this get to a game seven, the Cavs sort of have an edge because LeBron, you know, quote unquote, wants it more. And I was telling him, like, look, now LeBron's been trying the whole time. He's been playing at full energy. Like, I don't think there's like another level that he can take it to. But
you never know, right? Like, Steph has another level too, right? I don't know how injured he is or if he's actually injured, if he's just playing poorly. I don't even think he's actually playing poorly. He had 30 on 60 true shooting. That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
But he did have turnovers, and his defense wasn't good at all. Cavs are attacking him defensively every single time he's on the floor.
They are.
That's one of the reasons why he ends up with this many fouls.
Right. Let's not forget, he was sort of mediocre in the final. Mediocre is the wrong word. He was an all-star, but not an MVP-type player in the finals last year.
He has not been an MVP-type player in the playoffs at all this year, I would say, overall. Yeah. I mean, he had a couple of games, I would say, that were amazing. And, Game 7 against OKC was probably one of the better game sevens of all time.
Yeah.
But overall, I would say Klay's work is actually better in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Draymond's too, obviously. But his is more on the defensive end.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this. I think Steph outplayed Kyrie tonight. So Kyrie had 23 points on 7 of 18 shooting. He was 7 of 7 from the line. So what did you say? Steph's true shooting was 62%?
61.
What's Kyrie's on that?
Kyrie's is 53.
Okay.
Yeah, he probably outplayed him. I mean, that's fine. He's an MVP candidate.
No, well, it was just interesting that through the first, six games of the series, we're even having that conversation.
And I still think Kyrie's outplaying him overall.
I think so too. We should do a tweet. We should go to Basketball Reference and show the head-to-head over the first six games here. And I
bunch last people already done that, but
I know, but we can do it ourselves, and it would just be interesting to see.
So just to recap, so Kyrie has more points. They had equal number of assists before this game. Steph had only one assist tonight,
and Kyrie had
so
three.
So that's bad. Kyrie had three.
Yep.
Sorry.
Kyrie had three. Yep.
Yeah, Kyrie had three, Steph had one, and Steph had four turnovers, and Kyrie had three turnovers.
Three.
So yeah, so Kyrie has the edge again in terms of assists and turnovers. Rebounds, I think Steph has the edge. He's a better rebounder. But yeah, who knows?
What a crazy thing to have happened. Arnav, I cannot believe we're going to a game seven. Like, I just...
I think you would have taken it, right? We talked about this before the series started. You would have taken a game seven.
Yes, yes.
At the beginning of the series.
Yes, I would have.
You know, I probably would too now because I think we actually have a greater than 35% chance, honestly. It kind of depends on Iggy's health. But he did not look good at all. He was not able to move. Well, I'm not sure he can come back in 2 days.
Sometimes you have to worry about the eye test, but I mean, he went back to the locker room in both the first half and the second half, right? And he looked like he was limping around out there. And also, LeBron James had 40 points for the second consecutive game, which sort of implies that Iguodala is not at full strength.
Right. Well, LeBron's also playing really well. Like, he's made a bunch of ridiculous threes as well. Like, he's 3 of 6 tonight, I think. He was 4 of 8 last game. Yeah, from three.
Yeah, that's unexpected.
Dude, did you see his passes? That pocket pass he had to Tristan?
Yes. The one that Tristan fumbled out of bounds?
No. He had a pocket pass to Tristan that Tristan dunked.
Oh, did he? Okay. There was There was one pass in transition in the second half where
there were a couple incredible
pass, and he fumbled it out of bounds. I was like, oh. Harrison Barnes, you want to talk about him?
Yeah, he's been crap.
He was 0 for 8. So he has... I sent you that thing.
18 shots.
yeah, he's missed. Let's see. He had missed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. He had missed 12 in a row, and I don't know how many missed in the second half, but I think he's missed like 15 shots in a row.
I thought it was 18, but yeah, it's a ton of shots that he's missed now.
Yeah, maybe it's
in
18.
A row. And these are wide open threes, too. These were not, like, okay, one was contested, but like most of them were wide open.
He's a free agent. What a bummer for him.
I mean, he'll still get a max, I think. He's young. And honestly, he's only had two bad games. Before that, he was actually pretty good.
Well, his first four games in the finals were incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, he was actually really good. And then he's had like two of the worst possible games he could have in this scenario. But hey,
yeah.
Let that continue. Whatever he's eating, keep it up.
Draymond Green was sort of so-so tonight. He had 8 points on 3 of 7 shooting, 10 rebounds and 6 assists, only 1 turnover. He was okay.
He got frustrated a bit.
He did at the end. I thought, I want to say this about Draymond Green. I thought that, I read some articles about like how he handled sitting out game 5, and I thought I was impressed with the way he handled that. I thought there were a couple instances where he got like caught up, he got tangled up with the Cavs players, and he ended up on the ground, and both times he just laid there and didn't move. Like, he was completely docile. And so, yeah, I like commend him for doing that. I do wonder if he's obviously been spoken to. He's obviously been spoken to, but I wonder if that's affecting his ability to be effective.
I hope so.
I hope so
that's
too.
The reason why he's not playing well.
Yeah.
J.R. Smith has kept his calm and composure the entire series.
Shockingly.
I think we should commend him for that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. While we're passing out good sportsmanship awards, J.R. was... JR was pretty good tonight.
He's had issues with his entire career until this year, I would say.
JR tonight was pretty good. He had 14 points on 5 of 11. 4 of those 5 were threes.
Made some ridiculous threes, too.
He did. Yeah, he had one that didn't count, unfortunately. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists.
Oh, yeah, that one where he like caught it with 0.6 seconds or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. 3 assists, no turnovers, 3 steals, and a block.
Yeah, he was great.
He was great. 40 minutes for him.
Probably the 4th-best 3rd tonight.
Yeah. I'm actually looking. Tristan played 3 more seconds than LeBron tonight. Tristan has been feasting the last 2 games with Bogut out.
Yeah, as he should. I think we talked about it before. If one of the big keys was that if Tristan can handle the boards when there's no big on the floor, Cavs stand obviously a much, much better chance than they would otherwise. Because, you know, there's many advantages to going small, but there's also disadvantages. Usually for Golden State, those advantages outweigh the disadvantages, so they end up winning the game, or they end up winning those minutes when the small lineup is out. So what would be some advantages, right? Like, one of the advantages is they can space the floor. They have 5 shooters on the floor at all times. That's obviously a great thing to have. And then they can switch everything defensively. But again, the disadvantage is on the offensive glass. When an offensive rebounder as great as Tristan comes in the game, they have much, much more trouble on the glass. So then they lose that edge. And if the Cavs can win those minutes with offensive rebounding, I think they stand a much better chance in Game 7.
Right. Well, the other thing that happened tonight was that Tristan and LeBron found an alley-oop connection, I think 3 times.
Yeah.
Twice for sure,
maybe
3.
Also, JR had a couple to him, I think.
Yeah. Tristan was 6 of 6. He even made 3 of his 4 free throws. But yeah, I mean, if we can get 15 points out of Tristan, then any kind of like offense we sacrifice with him is... Well, we're not sacrificing any offense.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Well, go ahead.
I want to say his defense. I mean, there's not much I can say about his defense. It was so good. He was switching on a Curry, forcing Curry to drive. Mm-hmm. He was contesting stuff at the rim. I don't think he missed any switches today, any big switches like he did in game 1.
I didn't notice, at least.
Even I thought Kevin Love was pretty good defensively, too. I thought he was actually very good defensively. He wasn't that great offensively. He made an important 3, I think, and had a couple of good rebounds. But, I thought he was good defensively. I think pretty much everyone was good defensively tonight, except for maybe Shumpert in a couple of possessions.
Yeah, Shumpert got caught a couple times. That one that Mark Jackson was complaining about, I can't remember if he was guarding Curry or Clay, but... Oh, he was guarding Curry. I didn't think Shumpert did a bad job there. Like, Curry pushed off him a little bit, and then it caused that some space was made, and then he wasn't able to get around the screen, and he still got a hand in his face. It's just Curry made it. Curry's good. Like, I didn't have problems. I didn't have problems with that one. There are plenty of times where, like, I think the Cavs have not done well on Curry, but I didn't think that was one of them, and it sort of annoys me. Shumpert was a minus 13 tonight.
Right. Which is... I don't think he was that good, but he was fine. Like, that's the thing, right? Like, you cannot expect to be on top of your game every single possession.
Right.
No matter how many times a player says they will do that for any playoff game, that's impossible.
Right.
But as long as you minimize the number of times you miss guys like Curry and Clay, and of course, like, we have great offensive players on the other end too. We can keep up as well, so.
Yeah. Okay, so Kevin Love he played 11 minutes 55 seconds tonight. Part of that is because he got three fouls in 3 minutes in the first half.
Yeah, those were very good fouls. I thought one of them was a bad call.
One of them was a bad call. The first two were good calls, though.
Yeah.
He scored 7 points on 1 of 3 shooting. He was 4 of 6 from the line. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he was 4 of 6 from the line and made a three. Yeah. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, a turnover. He seemed to be sort of ineffective on offense again. He was minus 6 tonight. How are you feeling about him right now?
I think he was okay. Like, he didn't help or hurt anything. I think it was fine. I mean, he got 3 shots. There's not much you can expect from 3 shots, right?
Yeah.
I thought he was key in that one stretch when he got that offensive rebound and then that 1-3.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those aren't a lot of things, but if I'm nitpicking...
Well, he was only out there for 12 minutes, so...
Right, he was only out there for 12 minutes. And in those 12 minutes, I think that stretch where we were kind of, you know, toying the line between 8 to 10-point lead, I thought that was pretty important to get a 3 then.
He did have a big 3 that I think took it from 8 to 11.
Right, exactly. So I think that was a big one. And then, yeah, he hit a couple of good offensive rebounds, which I think got the crowd going and also maybe got his confidence back up a little because he shot the 3 after that.
Right.
And
I think that's right, too.
Right.
Well, here's the thing, though. So,
right.
I'm just going to say the facts here, and then we can editorialize. So, Love was a minus 6 in 12 minutes. Jefferson was a plus 15 in 32 minutes. There's going to be a lot made over the next 2 days about who should start.
I think at this point it's pretty clear it should be Jefferson. It's not. I don't even know if it's because what Love is doing. I think it's Jefferson who's been so good.
Yeah.
I think, and Cavs just look so much better with Jefferson. I don't know. I can't explain why.
I don't understand it.
Playing poorly.
I mean, we know. Look, I'm going to look it up here while we're talking about it. But like, we know that Jefferson's RPM is going to be garbage, and so
you got to stick with what's working now. Small sample size is fine. I would just go with it.
Richard Jefferson was the 64th best small forward in the NBA. His 64th best small forward in the NBA. His RPM was negative 2.45. Compare that to Kevin Love, who was the 10th best player in the NBA by RPM this year. Now look, RPM
matchups.
RPM does not do well for individual matchups, right? So, right. But how amazing is it that a 5.74 RPM player can be outplayed by a negative 2.5 RPM player?
I mean,
in the series,
Kyrie's outplaying Curry, so
yeah, you're right. There's a even bigger differential there, right? Like, Curry is an 8.5 RPM. I think Kyrie finished with like a 1 RPM or something. It's just, it's incredible.
It shows you the importance of matchups. And well, for Kyrie, there's a different excuse, right? Because he was injured, so that's different. He was recovering from injury, so it's hard to use his numbers directly, but I think with the Jefferson and Love, I would say matchups, yeah, they can be more important than your performance during the regular season.
Yeah. It's just, how do you recognize that in real time? I guess that's what coaching and...
I mean, then that's why something's not going well, which the Love lineups were okay, they weren't doing great, but
yeah.
He got injured, then Richard Jefferson tried, and then, you know, those lineups played really well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's how the Patriots discovered Tom Brady, right? Yeah, Adam
you could also
on
just
bench.
Start Love and just, you know, again, have a quick trigger like you did tonight.
Yeah.
But I think
quick,
I would...
Quick
if you,
hook, yeah.
I don't think you have the... I don't think you'll have the advantage of having, a quick start at Oracle. I think Warriors are going to come out fired up in Oracle, so you should put out your best lineup early on. So I would actually put out
Yeah, I guess my inclination would be, yeah, I mean, it's so tough with Love. Like, I think that maybe Jefferson is a better matchup, but I think that Love's confidence is also affecting his play. So, like, I feel like if we could play 100 games against Golden State, I feel like Love and Jefferson might be fungible, like they might be about the same. I don't think that Jefferson is so much better than Love in this matchup, but maybe he is. I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but I think at this point, he seems to be fine with that role. Like he's said it in interviews several times, yeah, that he understands that he can be a decoy and he can help the team that way.
Right.
Which is obviously what you want to hear from your star player. And I don't know how much of it he actually believes to be the case, but
yeah,
as long as he's happy with it and he played pretty okay today. It's not like he was, you know, committing turnover after turnover.
Yeah,
he was fine with his hit. It got a couple of good rebounds, and yeah.
Do you think that he has some sort of injury? Like, you know, so this has been the longest season he's ever played.
Could be, you know. I don't know. I mean, especially after that that concussion, you never know.
Yeah.
He might be going.
I just wonder if he's looked, to my eye, and again, the eye test is never great, he's looked like he's not moving as well as he has. But I just don't know. He's just not playing very well either, so, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, he hasn't been that good. I would say he hasn't been good at all, but he also hasn't hurt the Cavs, if that makes sense.
Right. He like hasn't been, he hasn't been out there making everything terrible. I mean, you know, he's taken like maybe 20 shots the entire finals, so, yeah, it's just...
I would say more of a just sort of a passive role player in the finals, at least.
Yeah.
Also, I think I want to say one thing. I think there's a difference between Kevin Love not being good in the finals versus Naeem not being a good player for the Cavs. Those are two very different things.
Oh yeah, we'd have ten fewer wins if we didn't have Kevin Love.
Right.
In
the playoffs, we'd have a couple of fewer wins like that. There was a lot of the last two Toronto games. Like Kevin Love was huge, getting us a big start.
Yes.
And then in that Hawks game where he hit like 8 threes, he was huge in getting us that lead in the third quarter.
Yes. Yeah, you're preaching to the choir here. I think what's going on here, and then we can just move on and put this to bed. I think what's going on here is that the Warriors, for whatever reason, I think I know what the reasons are, but for whatever reason, they pose a bad matchup for Kevin Love, and they are able
to
Draymond's control
the reason,
him.
But yeah,
that's right. Draymond Green is amazing, is the reason. It's a problem. All right, let's move on. I want to talk about something that I almost never want to talk about, which is the officiating.
And then we should get to LeBron because I feel like we haven't talked about him at all.
Yeah, I was saving the dessert for last, but we'll get to LeBron. So let's talk about the officiating first. So I have a feeling that there are going to be some unhappy Warriors fans about the officiating tonight. The first thing, which I guess somehow we didn't mention, Steph Curry fouled out of this game. He was in foul trouble for much of the first half. Well, I mean, he was obviously in foul trouble for the whole game since he fouled out. When he fouled out, he threw his mouth guard. He got a technical foul. He basically lost his temper briefly. It was something I've never really seen him do before. I've seen him do it, but this was sort of an unusual time for him to lose his composure. And I'm sure Warriors fans will perceive this as some huge slight and say the NBA wanted a Game 7. Let me just give the facts, and then you can say your piece. So the Cavs were called for 25 fouls tonight. The Warriors were called for 25 fouls tonight. The Warriors shot 29 free throws. The Cavs shot 32 free throws. Incredibly, the Cavs outshot them 78% to 69% on the line.
Who missed their free throws? Klay missed like 3, if I remember correctly.
Klay did miss 3. It was 4 of 7.
Okay.
Iggy was 0 of 2. Livingston missed one, Barbosa missed one, and Rush missed one. But Curry missed one. So the free throws and the fouls are even. I think the Cavs scored more points in the paint tonight. So to the extent that shots in the paint draw fouls more than jumpers do, you would expect the Cavs to have more fouls called against their opponents. But that did not happen tonight. Also, one last thing, and then you can talk. Kevin Love got 3 fouls in 3 minutes in the first half. So if there was some sort of call from on high to push this to a Game 7, It seems unlikely that they would quickly call three fouls on Kevin Love. Now,
but then some dumbass fans are going to be like, oh, but Kevin Love is not good for you.
Right, exactly.
So that's why there's a call from on high.
That's right. The NBA has an advanced analytics department. They have decided Kevin Love is bad. And in order to help the Cavs win the series, they quickly got him out of the game. Right, yeah, I'm sure that's what happened.
Yeah. And, I mean, I thought there were some bad calls on the Cavs. I thought there were some bad calls on the Warriors. I didn't think the officiating was biased either way.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I messaged you saying, oh, that was a bad call on a Cav. And then I think we talked about a couple of bad calls on Steph as well. So, yeah. I think it balances out.
Yeah. So, Steph had six fouls called on him. I thought four were clear fouls. One was he was trying to draw an offensive foul against LeBron.
He flopped.
LeBron did sort of bump into him a little bit, but it was one of those 50-50 things, and he came up tails when he called heads. There was another foul that I thought he got called for unfairly. I don't remember what it was, but listen, four were egregious. One was sort of 50-50, and then, you know, one was unfair. But, like, this is, I mean, people get called for unfair fouls all the time. I'm sure there were fouls Steph committed that nobody saw. So, yeah, look, we're biased as well. Like, we're biased in favor of the Cavs, but I have a strong pro-referee bias. I never think the referees are rigged. I think they're doing their best. And in this night, when the Cavs won by 14, I think the refs did a great job.
Why would they be biased against a 73-win team that's sort of as famous as the Jordan Bulls of, like, 96?
Yeah,
this team was, like, really well loved throughout the entire season.
Yeah, their ratings were always super high.
Right.
There's ESPN has a section called Nothing But Steph.
And there used to be a Heat ticker when LeBron was back at the Heat.
Yeah, the
so
Heat
you,
index.
You can sort of see the change,
right,
in how the public views them.
That's right. Yeah, the Warriors are, I think, the most popular team in the league, or at least the biggest draw in the league. And so having them win.
I don't think you even have to think. I think it's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
It's objectively true.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, you and I, and hopefully most of our listeners, agree that the NBA is not rigged. I'm positive it's not rigged. There is an effect where the home team gets a little bit of a boost from the officials. I think the home team gets called on average for one fewer foul or something like that. That's an effect that happens.
Yeah, that's probably correct, yeah.
I'm not sure if that's because the officiating's different or if it's because home teams on average win more and the winning team on average commits fewer fouls. Like, if you regressed for that, it might be actually exactly right. I just don't know. But there is a little bit of an effect being at home. But the Cavs won tonight. They outplayed the Warriors. I don't think there was any problem with the officiating tonight. It's too bad that Steph Curry fouled out. Like, if I were a Warriors fan, I would be annoyed about that, but it happened.
I would honestly say that today Cavs severely outplayed them, and the only reason the Warriors were in the game was because Curry and Klay were making some ridiculous shots, right, which is always the case for them. But in terms of, like, actual execution of strategy, I would say Cavs were much, much better today.
Yeah. Yeah, the Warriors missed the. Yeah, I think I agree with that. I mean,
they missed some shots, but, like, they made some crazy shots.
They missed some shots too, though. The two of them were 9 of 23 from three.
Who? Which two?
Klay and Steph.
But I mean, they did. Like, we're trying to get the ball out of these guys' hands. Like, we're actually making a concerted effort.
That's true. Yeah, 9 of 23 when every single one has, like, somebody come directly in your face is actually still pretty good.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, Harrison Barnes has been bad, but...
Yeah, he was 0-5.
That's about the only thing I can say that can sort of regress.
Also, he's been taking... I mean, like, every shot he's taking is, like, wide open now.
Wide open. Not even
the Cavs are like, go ahead, buddy.
I think he's in his head, kind of like Love was maybe last game, but he was... Yeah. I think Love's kind of out of it today. That three gave me a lot of hope.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's going to be a difference maker next game, but I think as long as the minutes he's playing in, he can at least hit a couple of shots, get a couple of rebounds. That's all we can ask for.
Yeah, I expect better things from Love in Game 7.
We can come back and reassess his finals.
And we're sort of playing with house money with Love now because he's been so bad throughout these finals. Anything out of him is a bonus. And let's not forget, this guy was the 10th best player in the NBA by the single best analytical method we have.
Right. And he was good against every other team except
for
the
he's still that guy. Like, the talent is there. It's not luck that that happened. So we'll see. I'm eager to see. I'm anxious to see.
Can I say something here?
Sure.
LeBron has officially passed the highest game score in an NBA Finals game. Tonight, he was 42.5. That's the best game by game score ever. I just calculated
the one turnover, four steals, and three blocks. Yeah, so we talked about this on the last episode when LeBron had the number two best game score of all time. Yeah, and now he's number one. Great, that's outstanding. I'm not surprised. Yeah,
and this is against a 73-win team, by the way.
Right. Yeah, let's just do it again. He had 41 points. He had three blocks, four steals, one turnover, 11 assists, eight rebounds. He was 16 of 17 from the field, 6 of 8 from the line, 3 of 6 from 3. That's a spectacular game.
I'm out of superlatives, you know? I was trying to express my joy to you during the game, but I just don't know what to say anymore.
Yeah.
That's the greatest game he's ever played in terms of just the impact of the game, his impact in the game, the importance of the game, the importance of the franchise, and the importance of just the moment, I guess.
I'm so shocked by it. I mean, I've been spending most of the last 2 years saying that the decline has begun, and we should just get as much out of him as we possibly can. But LeBron is having maybe the best playoff run he's ever had. I mean, this series, if you adjust by opponent, has just been.
It's the best ever. Jordan never played against a 73-win team.
He never played against anybody
good
in the finals.
He
never played against anybody that was that good in the finals.
I mean, because his team was that good, but yeah.
Yeah, well, that is part of it. But yeah, we looked at the SRS differences between the Jordan teams and his opponents earlier. We'll get into that in the offseason. It's a good offseason topic.
Yeah, that's an offseason thing, hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully that comes after we're done celebrating, after our 12 episode celebrating the Cavs season stretch.
Do you have any complaints about Tristan's contract still, or are you
ignoring
the situation? But like, are you happy with him making?
I am very happy with Tristan's contract. I was happy with his contract when we signed it. I just thought we could have gotten him for less, and I was mad at the organization for not getting him for less. But I was and remain happy that he.
Yeah,
is
but there were
team.
People who were actually mad about the dollar value and not about the situation.
Yeah,
you,
I wasn't mad about the dollar value. I was mad about.
I don't know.
The
I'm not talking
negotiating
about you, I'm
strategy.
Other people.
Yeah. So Tristan now is he? How old is he? 26. Tristan.
He is
Thompson.
26, I think. He hasn't missed a game in 370 games.
Yes.
Regular season games, and he hasn't missed a playoff
Tristan
game.
Tristan Thompson. Actually is 25 years, 95 days old. So
he's actually 25 then.
Yeah, he's not even close to 26.
Oh, he just had his birthday. Yeah, that's right.
Right. So he, and I secretly in the back of my mind think that Tristan did not practice as much this offseason as he could have.
I think so too. He looked pretty off in the beginning of the season.
He did. And so I am super excited about his improvement this offseason. I think he's going to add like a new wrinkle to his game. And I'm pumped for that.
What do you think that would be?
I think he'll develop a low post move that works a little bit. He doesn't really have one right now.
I actually don't think that will happen. I think what will happen is he will get better defensively. He'll get better at blocking shots. He will also get better at sort of just keeping his head in the game. Sometimes he loses focus a little bit on the defensive end. It hasn't really been a problem this series. It was kind of a problem earlier in the series. And I think he'll get much better at that. And on the offensive end, I think he'll get much better at keeping his hands up. Sort of, you know what they say, like keep your ball high when you're a big man?
Yes.
Because you don't want to get stripped by a short guy.
Yeah, he likes to bring the ball down to wind up. Yeah, exactly.
Right. I think he'll get better at that. Probably become a little better finisher as his career goes on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think those are realistic expectations. And I think those will put him in the conversation for like top 5 to 10 center in the league.
Yeah.
Like, I know people call him a power forward. He's a center. Let's be honest.
I think his upside is a low level all-star. I think that's his upside.
Yeah, I don't think he'll make the all-star game.
I don't
because
either.
Of the game, the
Not
type
next
of
year,
game he plays. And it's more important in the playoffs than it is in the regular season.
Yeah.
But I think he'll have the impact in important playoff games of an all-star.
Yeah, like he did tonight. Yeah, I saw somebody, I think
second
it was,
best third tonight.
Might have been Nate Duncan said third. that he was playing like an all-star, and he just was.
He was.
Okay, let's see. Anybody else we need to talk about tonight? Varejao.
Oh, let's talk about Iguodala.
Okay, Varejao was terrible. He was...
Thank God.
He was...
He tried to flop at one point, and I think he got the foul call on
yep.
Shumpert, and then he had a yep. scuffle with Shumpert. Is that correct?
Yep. He did. It was weird.
I hope the crowd booed him at that point.
Weird anomalies in the box score. Brandon Rush was plus 18. Varejao was plus 8. Rush was plus 18 because he only played at the end.
He came.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, because at the end, Cavs gave up like a 9-0 run. The third stringers gave a 9-0 run at the end, I think.
Right. Yeah, you were irritated about that.
No, because what I wanted was the Cavs to outscore the Warriors in the series so far. I think they're like 3 now.
Okay. Well, we have one more chance to do that.
Okay,
Iggy, and then we'll get to James. So Iguodala tonight was not very good. He played 30 minutes, 19 seconds, 2 of 5 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3, missed both his free throws. He scored 5 points. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and a turnover. He also had 2 fouls. Just to like sort of put that into perspective a little bit, I mean, of course, he was finals MVP last year, but, like, the last game, he had 15 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. The game before, he had only 10 points, but 7 assists, 6 rebounds. I mean, tonight, he was a big zero, and he was sort of limping around out there, and at first, there was speculation that it was his back, but then it was just objectively clear. He went back to the locker room that you could see both in the first half and second half. You could see a personal trainer working on him with one of those rigid plastic things, scraping out his back, probably to try to loosen it up. But he was unable to, and you wonder, do you think that... neither of us are doctors, so who knows, but do you think that will carry over to Game 7?
I think it will. Back problems are ridiculously chronic.
Yeah.
At least in my experience, from what I've seen, Kevin Love had that back problem. He was out for like a couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
and back problems don't really go away, especially for guys who are old like Iguodala is now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think even if he plays, he will be fairly limited, which obviously should help us a lot.
Yeah, I mean, Iguodala's box score contributions
underestimate.
Like, what he does is he makes it so that LeBron James can't score, and nobody makes it so that LeBron James can't score, except for frickin' Andre Iguodala, and he's been incredible on James, the last two games, James has been able to get on him, and you wonder if it's because Iguodala's running out of gas a little bit here.
Also, LeBron's really good, let's be honest. Let's give him credit here.
Sure. And doing it against Iguodala makes it even more impressive.
Right.
But it's I don't know what's going on here. I mean, LeBron went from playing in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 finals games against the Warriors and not really looking that great offensively to suddenly having...
Not looking efficient offensively. I think that's
correct.
I wouldn't say
you're
great,
right.
But yeah.
You're right. He's had plenty of volume. To suddenly having two of the best... finals games ever had.
Two of the top three, yeah.
Two of the top four now. No, two of the top three. Two of the top three.
But I would say two of the top two because Tim Duncan's best finals game, which was number one by game score before, was against the New Jersey Nets team, which was horrible.
Right. Well, in any case...
Richard Jefferson was on that team too, but yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Richard Jefferson's a big part of high game score NBA finals games. All right, let's talk about this. Okay, so if Iguodala is hampered and Bogut is out and Barnes can't play and Curry is sort of so-so.
50 plus, man. I would go 50 plus for the Cavs in game 7 if Iguodala is hampered. If he's back to 100%, I would probably push it down to 40 or maybe 35-40 for Cavs because home court is a big thing in game 7s. But if Iguodala is hampered, I can see the Cavs pulling this out.
You think it's that high? I think the Cavs, we just don't know about Iguodala right now, but sight unseen and just based on what we know, I would say the Cavs have like a 30% chance of winning game 7.
That's assuming Iguodala is 100%.
Yeah.
Let's say Iguodala is a no factor, or even if he plays, like, he doesn't play as well.
If Iguodala is even a little bit compromised, it obviously massively helps the Cavs.
Right. Because it's not, at this point, it's not just hurting that one-on-one matchup. It's hurting their depth. They don't have people behind Iguodala. They have Barnes.
Right. Well, the problem is without Bogut, they end up...
Right. They can't even play big anymore. They have to play Azeli that much.
Right. I mean, they keep marching Barajau out there. And yeah, I mean, he did some stuff early on, but we all know that's not sustainable. And yeah, Azeli and Rush got a bunch of minutes. Rush actually played 8 minutes, 30 seconds. So yeah, they're struggling. Yeah, their depth, which has been their thing all year, just hasn't been there. So
also, we should say they got some really good production from Barbosa today, which, again, might not be replicable. But who knows?
Yeah. Barbosa was 4 of 6, 14 points.
2 of 3 from 3.
Yeah. Yeah. He's so steady out there, huh? He's
I mean, Sean Livingston, steady, the guy who kills us, but luckily he didn't today.
1 of 6 tonight, yeah.
Minus 10, too, yeah.
Yep.
And Kyrie was, again, very good.
Yeah, Kyrie was pretty good. He was a little cold in the second half, but he kept the Cavs in it. I mean, he was a big reason why the Cavs got up 20 in the first quarter.
Right,
he finished
exactly.
7 of 18, and you said he was 53% true shooting.
Yeah.
Which is great. Or well, it's very good. I thought his defense was fine, and yay.
That's the thing,
Kyrie Irving's an elite player again. I'm surprised it's happened. I thought it was going to take, you know, an off season before he got back to that level, but
this sort
it
of
hasn't.
Supports the theory that it was more in his head than a physical thing, right? Would you agree with that? Or it could be just a physical thing that he somehow magically got fixed in the playoffs.
It's interesting,
is the interesting part.
You and I, you know, we must have dedicated like 5 episodes to this topic, which is, yeah, what is wrong with Kyrie Irving? Is it something physical or is it something mental? And we just didn't know. But based on the way that he's sort of flipped the switch here, but I mean, it's also, Arnav, the regular season was 2 months ago.
Yeah, we've been in the playoffs for a while now.
So,
that
you know,
correct.
if he was shaking off the rust of an injury, he's had 2 more months of intense playoff games to do that and a bunch
but
of
I
practice
time.
But I
would also say this. He was good since pretty much the opening tip of the playoffs.
Right.
I don't think he had one bad game in the first round.
As I was saying that, I was ducking, hoping you wouldn't mention that. But yeah, he's been good basically since the
And he was terrible like the last 2 games of the regular season. So it was like an instant switch, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
You could be right. At the time, it's just
well, you know, small sample size, luck, randomness. Maybe he was half injured. Maybe he was half mentally injured. Who knows? In any case, I'll take what we're getting. One more of those, please, Kyrie.
Also, like, are there people who still question LeBron's greatness? Like, are there people who actually think he's not a great player?
Yeah, I saw a number of tweets about that. So I actually closed my computer in the fourth quarter. When the Warriors cut it to 8, I started getting this sort of oh no feeling. And when that's happening, I find Twitter a little bit overwhelming. So I actually closed my computer. And when I reopened it, it was after LeBron had blocked Steph Curry. and because I just wanted to sort of... I'm able to enjoy the moments more when I see all the people that I follow also enjoying the moment. Like, it's silly and sort of pathological, but I enjoy that. But I did notice a number of people tweeting, like, it's a real shame that there's a large group of people out there who just hate LeBron James and consequently can't really appreciate this. Like, of course, Warriors fans aren't going to appreciate this performance, but... I feel like
I understand that, right? Like, I get that.
Yeah, I understand that. You know, I don't begrudge Warriors fans for hating LeBron James right now. Like, you know, I hate Steph Curry right now. I'll get over it.
I don't think I was able to fully appreciate Steph Curry's performance in the regular season. It was one of the best of all time.
Right. But when Michael Jordan was at his peak, everyone loved him, and everyone was sort of able to appreciate. I hated him. I was a big Cavs fan, and I think I was like one of the few people that didn't like him. I was a weirdo, but and I guess I'm like one of the people I'm complaining about vis-a-vis LeBron James. But yeah, it's sort of a shame that he gets so much hassle. I thought the juxtaposition between... Did you see LeBron's interview with Craig Sager at the end of the game?
I thought it was an amazing interview, actually.
Yeah.
That was one of the better interviews he's
It
ever
was
done.
well, it was great because LeBron gave him basically 5 minutes, which is usually they get 45 seconds. But you know, he let Sager interview him for like 5 minutes, and LeBron had nothing but good things to say about the Warriors. He was like, you know, Steph was the unanimous MVP. It was great. They won 73 games, which is the best of all time, due maybe entirely, or at least, you know, a big part of that was Steph, and with Draymond and with Klay and the rest of those guys. Like, they're just an unbelievable team, and we're going to go and play game seven as hard as we can, and we're going to live with the result. Meanwhile, well, I don't really
Steve
want to get
Kerr.
into this. Yeah. Meanwhile, you know, Steve Kerr and you know, the Currys are upset. It's tough. Losing playoff games is really hard. So I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, and like, let's see what happens after game seven to see if the Warriors, if should they lose with dignity.
It just annoys me that the double standard that people have for LeBron and for other
Yeah.
players. Like,
Yeah.
LeBron gets crucified for the tiniest bit of thing, right? Like, he said something about Klay in, I think it was a last presser or maybe the presser before that, when I think Draymond touched his nether regions, and he just got killed on social media about it. People were like, "Oh, what are you, the feds or something?"
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, he's trying to get any edge that's possible. It's a freaking game. It's part of it.
It's interesting. I
And they keep talking about the high road. I mean, come on, the Currys are not taking the high road here by
Yeah.
any definition of the word possible.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about Curry's wife. I think we should
I'm not saying
talk
anything
about
about it.
that
I'm just saying nobody's
offline.
taking the high road here
Yeah.
on the Golden State Warriors. Let's be
Yeah.
honest here.
Yeah, I'm trying to I'm pausing here, and I'm being careful with my words because I want to think about it carefully. Because obviously I am extremely biased and I'm very pro Cavs. I'm trying to think if I think objectively the Warriors are complaining more than the Cavs. I think maybe they are, but you know, look, they're younger and the personalities on that team are different than the personalities on the Cavs team. Like, you're never going to see Kyrie Irving or LeBron James or Kevin Love talk trash. That's just not how they sort of operate. You're going to see Klay and Draymond do that because that is how they operate. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's the finals. Everything is so heightened. Like, I can barely sit down when I watch these games. I'm so anxious about it. And if people say something that's like a little bit of a mistake in the heat of the moment, like, I'm not going to begrudge them that. It's hard.
Yeah, I think
So.
I will say this though. No matter what their age or whatever their level of maturity is, I feel like the Cavs have been more mature through these playoffs than the Warriors have, in terms of at least just the way the things they've said to the media, etc.
I would even go a step further than that. I thought the Cavs were too mature. I thought that their reaction after game two, I was like, the Cavs are going to get swept here. Like, this is not an acceptable. Like, they don't seem like fired up. Like, they seem like they're giving up. And we talked about how in each of the last two games, it seemed like there were chance times when the Cavs could give up, and they didn't. They've shown me fight. And if they lose now, at least they went
I'm
down
okay with it.
swinging.
I'll live with
Yeah.
it.
I don't want them to lose. Like, I think they're going to lose, but I hope, you know, as much as somebody can hope for something to happen, I hope that the Cavs win this game seven. But at least if they don't, they've represented themselves better than I thought they would. And I'm very proud of that, and I'm very impressed by that. So, yeah.
Right, I agree. I mean, there's no moral wins in playoff games, but I think I will take this,
Right.
even if the Cavs don't end up winning game seven.
Yeah.
This is definitely better than I expected. I mean, I predicted Warriors in seven, so I did expect it to go to seven, but I think I did not predict that the Cavs would be this close to outscoring the Warriors in the
Yeah.
entire series.
Or once they were down 3-1.
That they would come back, or
Yeah,
once
I
they were
don't
down
think
2-0.
nobody was
I mean,
predicting a game
2-0 is a
seven
pretty
then.
bad hole to dig out of by itself, and then 3-1? Come on.
Yep.
Oh, also, I
Yeah.
should mention that this is the first time a team that was down 3-1 has forced a game seven in the NBA Finals since 1966, which was 2 years separated from when the Cleveland Browns won their last championship.
Are you saying there's a connection there?
No, I do not. But all I'm
Right.
saying is neither of us were alive back then.
We weren't even close to alive.
I was about 30 years off, or 27 years off, but.
Yeah. Well, we've got a game seven coming.
Baby.
Yeah.
Do you agree with LeBron that those are the two best words you can have in sports?
Game seven. I think winning a sweep might be a little bit better.
Yeah.
But if the Cavs win this game seven, this will be, I'm sure, the greatest sports thing that will happen in my life. Like, this is,
It would be the greatest upset in NBA history,
right.
Easily, because you beat a 73-win team. That in itself is an upset. I think it would be the greatest comeback, easily, in NBA Finals history. Probably close to the greatest performance ever in NBA Finals history by LeBron. So, yeah. By the way, I also think LeBron should win Finals MVP no matter what happens. Unless he, like, goes 1 of 30 or Curry scores, like, 70 points or something. But
yeah, there will be plenty of hand-wringing about that. And
he almost won it last year, and I think
he did
much, much better this year, which is the crazy part.
I agree. I don't think he was anywhere close to MVP last year, so...
No, I think he was, but just because nobody else was very good. I don't think he had one of the best finals.
Sure.
I think it's because nobody else was that good either, so...
That's right. Neither Curry nor Clay were that good in the finals, and so... Yeah. Okay.
I think he's actually been really, really good this season. This finals.
Yeah, he's been...
Oh, also, one last thing.
Incredible.
The score's actually even now, so Cavs and Warriors are 6-10 and 6-10. In the series.
610 points to 610 points.
Yep. Literally, game seven is going to determine who outscores the other in the entire series.
Wow. Well, what a season.
I know.
It all comes down to this.
You beat the Warriors twice in a row, which hadn't really happened till last series.
Right.
And if we do beat them again, it will be three in a row for the first time since Kerr took over.
Yeah. First time since Kerr took over, they haven't lost three in a row. Yeah, that's right.
And they also lost by 15 points at home for the first time since Kerr took over, which was last game.
Yeah, the Cavs have looked damn impressive. They just need one more.
One last push, man. And I'm glad there's 2 days off between now and the game, because the two best teams make a big difference. Maybe it's just confirmation bias on my part, but I think LeBron's looking much, much healthier after 2 days off as opposed to 1 day's off.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's objectively true. Now, whether that's just what has happened to have happened, or whether it's because of the extra rest is sort of impossible to know, but we get 2 days anyway, so he'll be rested. It does give Iggy another day to get his back right, but as you said, maybe...
I'd rather have LeBron. I think that the marginal benefit of having LeBron an extra day is higher than giving Iggy's back an extra day. I don't think Iggy's back is going to be that... If it's not cured in 1 day, I doubt the second day is going to make that big of a difference. It might make a little bit, but...
You're probably right. I just don't know. I agree. I agree that is probably right.
Because for LeBron, it's a different problem. It's all about lactic acid. For Iggy, it's a different problem.
Right.
These are muscle strains. They recover over longer periods than just simple lactic acid.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you have anything else you want to say?
No, I'm good. It was a fun game, man. Hopefully we have another one of these.
Yeah,
games
I hope
after
so. I hope so. All right, so this has been episode 36 of Cavalytics. You can email us at cavalyticsnba@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at cavalyticsnba. I'm not sure. So game 7 is Sunday at 8 p.m. I am going to go to that game, so...
you're going. How much
I'm
are
not
the tickets?
Sure.
They should be up now.
I'm going to have to spend more than $1,000 and probably closer to $2,000. I want to sit downstairs, so...
It'll be worth it, I think.
Well, it'll either be worth it or it definitely won't have been worth it. I'm not sure which.
I still say it's worth it. Like, it's, you know, game 7, watching your favorite team of all time.
Yeah, I get so
having
sad
their best season of
when
all
the
time.
Cavs lose, and this will be like the saddest possible thing. So
I would exit if the Cavs lose, like, quickly. Don't wait for the ceremony.
Yeah, we'll see. I might just sit there and wallow in sadness. Well, hopefully I don't have to make that decision. Anyway, okay. So you can follow us on Twitter at CavalyticsNBA, and we will come back at you guys after Game 7, which again is Sunday at 8 p.m. Go Cavs!